myself and how to... We are VIC Fellowship, and VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to, commercial-free, and truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and I'm joined today with Ingrid Castle from Vaccination Liberation. Our show is titled, What in the Cell is Going On? And we're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on prn.fm or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. Our guest today is Joy Garner from thecontrolgroup.org, and Ingrid will be interviewing her about the amazing work she's doing. Thank you, Joy, for coming on today, and welcome, ladies.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And Ingrid, I know you know a lot more of what's happening, so I would like you just to take over the show, sweetheart.
Okay. That's wonderful. So, actually, it's so funny. Let's just get on with getting on. Joy Garner has started gathering information for a federal lawsuit, and she has a website, thecontrolgroup.org, and it's getting a lot of traction on Facebook and other places, and she's really needing as many of these surveys out to the unvaccinated as possible, because that is the control, is the population at large that is unvaccinated. So Joy is the brilliant woman behind starting this federal lawsuit and gathering all the evidence we need, and it's not about human rights. This is, it's beyond that at this point. It's really about the our country, the security of our country, and public health. What is public health? And this certainly is a huge issue, because we have one of the sickest nation of children ever in the history of man, and it's actually happening in other countries too. So, talk about a subversive depopulation agenda. It's happening before our eyes. We have very few children that survive this assault. So, I want to welcome Joy Garner, and I'm so thankful that you are joining us on PRN.FM.
Thank you for having me on the show. I like how you described what's going on right now. I would add that to the extent that we're not taking it from the perspective of human rights, I'm not sure that's exactly the correct way to term this. We're not taking it from the perspective of whether or not it's okay to sacrifice the lives and health of some children in exchange for overall public health. And the reason that we're not attacking the individual rights issue here is because that's a losing battle. Everyone that fights it from that angle loses, because the U.S. Supreme Court, back all the way back in 1905 in Jacobson versus Massachusetts, has held that it is absolutely okay for the government to sacrifice our constitutional rights, including our right to exist, live, mm-hmm. our individual rights, so long as the net result is better public health. So we're not even going to attack that one. What we're showing through this survey and the results that are coming in so far are already pointing very strongly in this direction, is that the vaccination programs are destroying public health. And when we say randomized control study, we do not mean that we are controlling every aspect of this study. What we mean is that the participants are controls only to the extent that they've never been vaccinated. And right. We're asking what their health status is. Now, we're asking anonymously. We know that more and more people are being attacked, basically, for being unvaccinated. They're being demonized in the media. They're being accused of, being dripping with diseases and and causing the spread of the dreaded measles or whatever the latest scare is. And it's having some effect on society. Mm-hmm. There are people that believe these things and that are pointing the finger at unvaccinated people and trying to accuse them of being a threat to public health. They're also lining up and saying, look, even though we know there are risks, those risks are very small, and this is what pharma tells us. The risks are very small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that might be true. If it were true, I don't know. Maybe we would be living in a society that acts just the way they do in ancient times when they would sacrifice a child mm-hmm. in order to appease the gods and
right.
get us a better harvest that year. You know?
Okay.
But
Joy,
you know, now it's all scientific.
Yeah, Joy, yeah. I just want to backtrack a little bit because I have some actually some specific questions, and you're doing great. The reason I mentioned human rights is that the UN has the rights of the child, and 192 member states have signed on to the UN agenda, the rights of the child,
mm-hmm.
which includes government schooling and all medical care, including vaccines. So there's
right
no,
not
that, and that
neglected.
Supersedes parental rights. So that a lot of people came to this country
yeah.
because we did not sign on, and they could homeschool their children and avoid, vaccines.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just saying this is like this is why the
concept.
I mentioned it as a human right because that's their term.
Okay.
For the nanny state coming in and telling, the corporate nanny
okay.
state.
So
I want to backtrack. But most people want to know who
okay.
you are, why you came into this movement at this
okay.
time. What is your background? Because people are like, who is this? Does anyone know Joy Garner? So I need you to explain your involvement.
Okay. Let's see. I'll go back as far as I can, but try to make it brief and just give you the broad strokes. I am first and foremost a mother and grandmother. That comes before anything else. When I had my two children, I had them in Texas, and at that time, I was interested in tax issues because I lean towards freedom, and so I ended up being elected as the vice president of the Taxpayers Association in South Texas. That resulted in me also being their spokesperson and more than doubling their membership in the first 2 weeks as their spokesperson. Mm-hmm. Before I knew it, a few years later, any taxing entity that wanted to increase taxes would come to us first because they knew if they couldn't talk us into it, it would never succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an empowering experience for me in terms of, getting out there and actually taking concrete actions
mm-hmm.
when you see a problem.
Yes.
And not being afraid of the so-called authority,
Right.
One of the first crossfire environments that I was in on PBS, they had me against six really highly credentialed school board members who mm-hmm. were very against me as a someone that was trying to fight the tax increases. And they wanted to massively increase the taxes for all kinds of reasons. And I walked out of there having obliterated them. All six of them,
mm-hmm.
even though I was introduced as nothing more than a housewife. The voters showed up and did what needed to be done and defeated the tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
So they saw that it wasn't actually going to benefit education. It was all the money was going to go to some really bad places. And meanwhile, the kids would still not have enough textbooks. So, now when you come to these child's rights things, I really want to just stick to the subject. I, I'm a tech inventor, and I have a bunch of
I understand, but most people want to know. I mean, obviously, you were affected, or you wouldn't be passionate. So
that kind of story. Okay.
I mean, I don't need to know your whole background at all.
Yeah.
But I really, and I probably should have interrupted you. I just wanted you to get to the point of where your passion came from, and because many people in the movement haven't heard of you. I mean, so besides the background, your passion.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll go straight there then. I have two daughters, and one of them has two children, a girl and a boy. The girl was born about 8 years ago, and almost 8 years ago, and she was not vaccinated, but the doctor or the nurses, I guess, talked my daughter into allowing the vitamin K shot. Mm-hmm. That baby screamed to holy hell for months. You know, normally if they just lay in there, it's drinking milk, everything's fine, what's the problem? But I'm watching something I'd never personally witnessed before in my own environment, in my own family. And that was a breastfed baby that didn't have any specific injury or health problem that we could identify, and yet that baby looked like it was in hell. I mean, when it would scream, it sounded like the gates of hell had opened up and that it was being tortured by demons. I mean, it was that bad. And it took months for that child to begin to calm down and recover. There were a lot of struggles getting her to properly breastfeed, but after a few months of having exclusively lived on breast milk, the child began to recover, and now she's doing great. She doesn't have any of the typical kinds of health problems that you're hearing most children have these days. She doesn't have allergies. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a lot of these problems. Mm-hmm. So now the grandson comes along, and we're in California, where they passed a mandate a few years ago requiring all children that want to attend school to be vaccinated unless they have a medical exemption. Mm-hmm. Now, that passes, and a lot of people just went, well, you know, let me go get the medical exemption. Mm-hmm. Most people do have a family history that shows it could be very dangerous for them to be subjected to immune-confusing things like vaccines. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people do qualify for medical exemption. And not very many people pursued it, but a lot of people qualify. So we get the medical exemption for both my granddaughter and now my grandson. And then in the dark of night, the same senator who's been pushing the vaccine mandates manages to pass something called the Child's Right Act, or Child's Right, and here in California. And that goes back to the human rights thing. I guess, you know, signing on to the UN agenda as a state. And in that Child's Rights Bill, it says that all children are entitled to be protected from bad parents who medically neglect them. Mm-hmm. And that the state will take over as their parents in terms of their medicine if the parent is neglecting them.
Right.
And under that, it also says that you are criminally guilty of medical neglect of your children if they're not vaccinated and you don't have a medical exemption.
Right.
Still, nobody became afraid when that passed. Even when people found out about it, they got a little worried, but no one got petrified until they now press this bill that's going to eliminate all the medical exemptions.
Mm-hmm.
And under this new bill in California, it's called SB 276, the only way that a child will qualify for any medical exemption is after they are severely injured by a vaccine.
Right.
So they won't have to get that one shot ever again, but they'll still... Oh, and guess what?
They'll have to get all the other ones.
Renewed every year. But they'll have to get all the other ones.
And exactly.
Next year, they'll have to go out and get another $2,000 worth of out-of-pocket expenses trying to obtain another medical exemption just against that one vaccine. So basically, it means the elimination of all medical exemptions in the state of California.
Or all exemptions, period. If you want to go to school. But what about homeschooling?
that's gone too, because under the Child Protection Act, they're going to be able to, or the Child's Rights Act, any parent, whether they're homeschooling or not, is required to vaccinate their children or else face criminal medical neglect charges and CPS kicking your door in, taking your kids and injecting them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's literally gotten that bad in this state.
Right. And, so you saw this, and it's affecting your family in a huge way, and you had some background to file a federal lawsuit?
Yeah, I once had some Rockefeller Trust Fund babies with endless money to spend come after an invention of mine. And it was actually a co-invention between my brother and I. We both owned it outright. Anyway, they attempted to steal it based on the premise that we didn't have as much money as them, and we better just play along and sell it for 2 cents, or else they're going to steal it anyway because they can afford all these lawyers. And they did end up hiring Jones Day, which is the world's largest, most powerful law firm. They're based out of New York. They also hired two prior U.S. attorneys, their entire firm, right in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And, of course, four other law firms, all fighting to steal this patent from me at once. And I, at that time, couldn't afford a lawyer, so I had to go into federal court and get this situated. And you just do it myself, and I had to learn how to practice federal law in quick order. And what I discovered was that figuring out how to practice federal law was infinitely more simple than trying to co-invent a new technology product. It really didn't take all that much,
right,
in terms of brain power or IQ.
Right.
So I really was not stressed on that level, but it was a learning process, and I had to do it quickly. Anyway, I won.
Well, you had to learn the court rules and all of that stuff. So you basically had to.
Yeah, but you know, inside of a
couple
year,
weeks,
I had
you know,
them
becoming
begging
an attorney.
For a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Inside of a year, I had them waving the white flag, including the judge, who honestly was very crooked and leaning towards them. I don't know for a fact exactly why, other than that they were very powerful people.
Mm-hmm.
I did win, and so I got the idea. You know, I could win other things too in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the state capitol, when we found out that the bill SB 276, eliminating the medical exemptions in California, had passed the Senate committee,
mm-hmm.
my daughter was standing there with my grandson in her arms, looking at me with these terrified eyes, as if, you know, to say, Mommy, you know, like they're coming for my baby here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of it for me. This is now my full-time job.
Right.
The whole rest of my life is meaningless if I do not succeed at this. And so there is nothing else on my agenda, truly.
So,
absolutely nothing. This is it.
So how many surveys do you think you're going to need? Because you've opened it up to across the country. And
yeah.
I know mine's going out in the mail today, and my sister's going to fill hers out. And you know, but these are, you know, our children are adults now, and they've never been.
Well, we're targeting to hopefully get at least 40,000. That number will not be necessary. Based on the early batches that we're getting, it's already looking like the ratios. Basically, here's how it works: if there were 20% of unvaccinated people that had all the same problems that vaccinated people do,
mm-hmm.
then we would need a much larger pool of
right.
surveys. However, the numbers as they're coming in right now, the way it's looking right now is that we're really not going to need all that many. However, we want as many as we can get.
Well, yeah, you need to have a size.
Because the more we have, the stronger our case.
Right.
The stronger our argument, the stronger our evidence.
Right.
Because, you know, we are going to get accused of faking some of them or something. They're not going to be able to prove we did that because we're not doing it. They're going to accuse us of bias. They're going to accuse our side of all kinds of things. And then they're going to ask, they're going to demand discovery and to get access to the actual surveys. Now, they do not have a legal right to review surveys with people's identities on them. Those will all be redacted. But they do have a right to look at them and see if our numbers match the numbers their people come up with as to what they say in terms of health problems.
Right.
So, I mean, we're prepared for all these different things they're going to try to do to discredit this study. But in the end, it is solid evidence that they're not going to be able to keep out of evidence, certainly, and they're not going to be able to discredit in front of a jury.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where a jury is going to say, you know what, we think we're going to trust what Big Pharma says, even though they stand to make billions. I mean, if anyone's got a bias here, I think that one's kind of obvious.
Well, let's go ahead and repeat. Let's repeat the website, because the survey's downloadable.
Okay.
You want to stress that people download the survey, they print it out, and then they hand write and fill it out.
Yeah, we need a hard copy now.
Yeah, well, you want
a hard copy. Willing, yeah, if you are willing to testify, check the box yes where we ask. If you are willing to be identified, that helps us, but it is not required to be admissible. We already have a large number of people in California who know that their identities have already been given to the state because of the medical exemptions that they obtained, thinking that was going to help them. And now it's just being used as a hit list so that they know who to go forcibly inject. So we're keenly aware of people's reasons for wanting to keep their privacy all across the country for as long as possible, due to the fact that we're all, you know, unvaccinated. People are actually being overtly targeted now for, I guess, elimination as an unvaccinated person.
Evidence.
So,
eliminate the evidence.
Anyone that fills out a survey, feel free to use the word anon on the name and signature lines. And because we're going to be redacting all of those anyway. And the only ones that we are going to personally keep information on are the ones that say, yes, I'm willing to testify. And those will be separated as well from the actual surveys. So in other words, all the surveys get redacted. And then for people who say they're willing or able to testify, then we put them into a separate database that's not directly tied to that survey.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
Everyone's going to be assigned, every survey is assigned a respondent number. And so we replace the name with a survey number.
Right.
And that's how our survey gets put together for presentation in court.
Right. This is very important.
Now, we will originally be presenting
pivotal, I'm sorry, this would be a pivotal exhibit. Other than the other things that, of course, you're going to be preventing. So how are you going to work? What's the basis of the lawsuit? Just repeat. So for new people, the basis of the lawsuit is?
Okay, declaratory relief action. Because we're not going in asking for liability, for damages, for money, they can't dismiss us to the vaccine injury court where there's literally no due process. What we're doing is declaratory relief action. This is similar to the way if a government entity were to see that there's a epidemic of something nasty going on with the release of some product, and it seems to be associated with that product, the government can run a online survey, much less valuable in terms of solid evidence. And they can march in and get a temporary injunction just based on that. And then before the injunction can be dissolved, the court will require the defendant to come in and absolutely prove that their product is safe and that these numbers are wrong. So that's kind of the direction. There are a lot of other layers to this and other strategies we're going to be implementing simultaneously, because this, we're going in for the kill shot.
Right.
We're not satisfied.
I mean, you know, why treat vaccines any different than any other product on the market that's causing damage?
There you go. See, you're absolutely nailed it. The and that's when I started kind of grinding away at this and thinking about what branches of legal research I wanted to pursue. I realized that our best shot is over in the product safety public survey department.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a product.
Mm-hmm.
It's something someone's selling to us. The government's demanding that we buy it, either through government subsidies or personally through our own, out of our own pocket. But either way, it's a product.
It is a product.
And
it's a damn dangerous
so
one.
So the branches of law that apply to this concept also will apply here in terms of getting our survey into evidence. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the bar is much lower in terms of having to prove anything up when you're not asking for money and you're not trying to put anyone in jail yet.
Mm-hmm.
When all you're doing at the outset is, look, this looks like it's threatening public health, and the numbers really, really, whoa. Oh, and by the way, this particular suspect,
mm-hmm.
he's already admitted that he does maim and kill children.
We're talking
we
about
don't have to do the mechanistic
these
scientific
bills?
Evidence.
Wait, we're talking
what's
about
that?
Which suspect are you talking about? The one who's introducing the bills in California?
Well, yeah, but I mean vaccines. I mean, vaccines are the suspect here. That's why we're studying unvaccinated people.
Okay, yeah.
To see whether or not they're
you're
dying off
a person. I'm
right.
Like, you know, obviously it's admitted because it's right there in the vaccine adverse event reporting system. It's in the injury compensation. I mean, they have reportable injuries. It is right there. Of course they admit it.
And there's a judicially noticeable fact. And that's powerful when you have a fact that you can ask for judicial notice of, so that it is a fact of the case at the outset.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those facts is that the U.S. Supreme Court has also found, sometimes it maims and kills, but it's, you know, it's unavoidably safe, but it's okay because it's in the interest of public health.
Right.
So we can ask the court
to,
we can ask the court to take judicial notice of the fact that it's already been found by the U.S. Supreme Court that vaccines are unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. They're the ones that use that word, not us.
Right.
So that's a foundational fact of the case. Blood on the guy's hands. He's already confessed, but he's asking for a break because he's really not killing that many.
Right.
And besides that, he's helping the public health. And so far, they've been going along with that argument, but that argument is completely defeated when you come in with evidence that it's actually injuring health,
mm-hmm.
the public health in general. So, no, I'm not coming at this from the perspective of a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
The scientists who I respect, who are willing to come in and donate their time on this as we go to court, they know that this is science. This is the most fundamental basis in science that you could, I mean, you need, let's say you've got a experiment where you want to have four pots of plants, four potted plants, and you're going to give them all water, so they should all live, but there's going to be one difference between these two pots and the other two pots.
Mm-hmm.
The first two pots are going to get water plus weed killer.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two pots are only going to get water. Okay, let's see how that works out. So we're doing an after-the-fact observational.
Right.
We're not controlling who gets the shots in a lab that costs $1 billion.
Right. We're just doing a survey of people that are claiming to be completely unvaccinated and their health issues. So you obviously
and given the current climate, there's no reason on earth to believe anyone would voluntarily admit that they are unvaccinated unless they really are.
Right. Okay.
So this most is, people try to
this
hide
is
that
an
nowadays.
Issue. I mean, I signed. I mean, I'm proud. There's no one that's going to intimidate me. I mean, I might as well check out
this planet now
if someone's going to start forcing poison into my system.
Right.
So
yeah,
anyway,
I don't know what kind of freedom there is if you can control
right, exactly.
That.
So, you know, I mean, that's really our big struggle on this planet is, you know, our basic rights and just freedom and liberty in general. So anyway, that said, I just wanted to mention, I lost my train of thought.
Huh.
There you go.
Was
anyway,
there someone that's been locked up recently?
Oh, yeah, no, it's a comparison. So I wanted to know where your stuff is. You have to have obviously some statistics about special ed and how many sick children there are, the percentage around the country.
Okay, those are national statistics that are published,
mm-hmm.
and they are judicially noticeable. So I can bring in a list of facts that the judge has to agree are facts of the case, and the other side's entitled to fight me on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want to say that the CDC numbers are wrong in terms of how many children are suffering these diseases,
mm-hmm.
they can try that, but I doubt that's what they're going to say.
Right.
Instead,
or the increase in special ed in California,
else.
Which it has increased, the numbers of special ed children and autistic children has increased.
Yeah, it has. And so we'll go into court with the most recent numbers that have been published by so-called respected authorities, because they don't have a problem announcing openly how sick the kids are. Because every group that gets together, you know, we're the childhood arthritis, you know, group, and we're not trying to figure out whether or not a chemical substance is causing childhood arthritis. We don't really care. We just want $20 billion to pay for all these arthritic kids. And the kids will probably never see 10 cents of that, but our foundation will get a lot of money for studying the problem. And then when you look at their surveys, even the ones online at the FDA, go there and look at some of their studies sometimes. I found one on childhood arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at least hopeful they might ask one question about the chemicals or medicines that child might have been exposed to or not exposed to. And they didn't. Instead, they asked what the mother's income was, whether or not she was single, whether or not the child was gender confused. Really.
Right, and all of these things
are... child is going to
like
get cancer because they're gender confused.
Right, they want to make sure that it's just that you take it away from environmental factors and vaccines.
Yeah.
So don't even ask the question.
Well, no, they call these things environmental factors. They say that if you're gender confused and you're being bullied at school, that might stress you. And so maybe you're more likely to get childhood arthritis or cancer or whatever. But they refuse to ask any real scientific questions. And it's all a social study. And because they're straining to find anything but vaccines to blame for what's going on with our children today. And not only that, they use these surveys, these cheap online surveys, where you don't even have a piece of paper to back it up. And they now set public health policy based on the results of these things. So if they find out that, well, there seems to be a slightly higher number of gender-confused children who are coming down with childhood arthritis, oh, we're going to have to set a national emergency public health policy requiring gender-neutral bathrooms everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that these children won't feel so stressed and get arthritis. I mean, that's how crazy it is. And they call that science.
Right.
So they can bring their
so-called perverted
science in against ours anytime they want.
Right.
And the jury will laugh it right out of court.
Yeah, James Colbert, he's such a great investigative journalist, but you can look up James Colbert, C-O-L-B-E-R-T. He did a great expose, 30 minutes on, you know, just how all of our science is bought and sold. He ends with, you know, touching on the vaccine issue, but it's rampant and it's everywhere.
I found a wonderful study, and how it got published, I'll never know. But it did get published in a journal that I can now have asked for judicial notice of. And it was a study on that very, the very subject of ghostwriting for vaccine safety related articles and
right.
studies. And what they said openly is, and this was a research project, they discovered and concluded that basically 100% of all published vaccine safety studies, published and peer-reviewed, are ghostwritten by big pharma executives.
Yep.
Before the studies are even done, they've already written their conclusions. Mm-hmm. And they've already organized the research that's going to occur that they're going to fund in such a way as to confound any possibility of any truth being exposed in those studies. So, you know, like the FDA study thing, like, you know, does their dog have fleas or do they live in a bad neighborhood? Mm-hmm. And who cares whether or not they've received medications and, chemicals or been exposed to different chemicals. So they're never looking for those answers. They're always straining to find some alternative, bizarre explanation mm-hmm. for what's happening to the health of our children. Mm-hmm. And all of that crap's going to be exposed in court because I'm going for the jugular here. I'm not messing around. And I'm not afraid of these people. They may kill me. I really don't care. I've got 10 fail-safes already set up for people to take the reins and continue this that are fully supportive of this strategy. They know it has the best shot of winning. Mm-hmm. And then look at some of the people that are so-called leaders of the movement. And I when I do see them, very rare, but when I do see them actually head into court, mm-hmm. I'm always confused as to why they don't go for the jugular. It's more like a pandering. Like, look, we just want safer vaccines, please. Really? You want monsters to keep that have been killing us to keep being the ones that supply something that the government requires us to inject into our body? I'm not following that logic. But what I do see is sort of a hat tip to Big Pharma of fear. Like, look, if you just stop, they're pleading with Big Pharma. They're saying, look, if you just stop killing our kids, we won't threaten your profits, we swear. Mm-hmm. And what I see is, no, we have to go after their profits. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in the sense of this particular stage of the battle that we're engaged in. I mean that in the bigger picture, because once we succeed at this one phase, their jig is up. They're going to collapse.
Well, this is another thing. They've never done the study. Okay,
exactly.
But how? There's so many toxins in the environment. How are you going to narrow it down to vaccines? I mean, we have prenatal ultrasounds.
By only surveying the health of unvaccinated people. Because,
right.
Hey, we all know fluoride's in the water. It's dangerous. We all know some unvaccinated kids get run over by cars or drink some antifreeze and get sick or die or whatever for lots of different reasons.
Right.
But the incidence of that appears
the incidence,
at this stage.
Yeah, that's why we need as many as possible. But at the same time,
yes.
It just seems to me that...
Look, we're not setting out... Let me explain. I know where you're going.
Well, I just know other people are going to go there, too, that there's so many other factors.
I know, but like, can I address it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... we are not setting out to prove definitively in a court of law that the only possible way a child gets sick is if they're vaccinated. That's not what we're saying. That's not the argument we're making. So we don't have to prove that nothing else is responsible for sometimes hurting kids. We have a mass murderer out there. Okay? We're trying to identify him.
Mm-hmm.
We pretty much already have the mechanistic evidence. No, we 100% have the mechanism. We know the mechanism. It's already been established, the mechanism by which this killer murders. It's already confessed that it murders.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is trying to find out just exactly how many are you murdering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there are 2% of unvaccinated kids that are as sick as the 43% of the national average, we can go, yeah, there's other stuff hurting kids. Mm-hmm. But are we willing to sacrifice the 43% any longer? Mm-hmm. Just because there might be other things that injure children.
Well, and also, to me, it's a huge experiment. I don't even know if this would even come up, but we have so many things, like right in the Los Angeles Times, in one of their headlines, none of the unvaccinated 18 children with 18 boys at a boarding school down there, you know, for the elite, had medical exemptions, and none of them got pertussis, yet they had a pertussis outbreak, and every single one of them was vaccinated. So we have lots of these kinds of cases. So, you know, I'm just saying there's tons of that. So that seems to be the fact. I mean, how is this an interest of public health when obviously the unvaccinated aren't getting the disease, aren't spreading the disease, and yet all the vaccinated people...
And that takes me to another point of the survey. This subject you bring up is precisely why we added a question about infectious disease to the survey. And so far, what we're finding is that unvaccinated children, obviously because they probably have superior immune systems, unvaccinated children have a substantially lower risk of contracting any infectious disease, whether serious or not. We're getting zeros there, or close to zero, in comparison to the national averages. So if avoiding vaccines improves your ability to prevent infectious disease, well, there's another piece of evidence.
Okay, I didn't put that on there. I didn't think it was a big deal. My daughter had chickenpox, and she did have pertussis. Was I supposed to put that in the survey?
Those are not serious. Serious.
I don't think there's. I mean, she wasn't hospitalized. I mean, she was treated naturally for chickenpox and pertussis.
Injured them. Okay. Here's the definition, textbook definition of serious infectious disease. It either kills them or injures them. If it has no serious or lasting health consequence, then it was a mild infection.
Well, of course it was.
How can you call something serious if it didn't affect them? So even if there's a higher rate of chickenpox amongst unvaccinated children, if it does not injure them, and yet a child who is vaccinated comes down with chickenpox and it injures them, who had the serious infectious disease? Who's more susceptible?
Obviously, so the vaccinated. Okay, we get that. So I just need to respond because obviously you're using infectious disease. I mean, we get people on our list as you, I don't know if you saw on the Vaccination Liberation Yahoo group how, you know, the guy, he's in England, by the way, and he's very on the issue of the germ theory of disease, which is the thing that needs to be wiped out along with a vaccine. And most people think that is the way because, anyway, the point is that there's no such thing as infectious diseases, that it's only infectious as we're all similar with the same, toxic environment, the same, that kind of thing. So, I mean, they don't really spread. They don't spread from person to person. You can't even get smallpox to spread from person to person.
Well, that's a lot of mechanistic evidence that we will be able to bring in, things like that.
Okay, well, we have a ton of stuff on the fallacy of the germ theory of disease.
Okay, I love
that. And that's the foundation behind all of modern medicine and the vaccine. So,
well, what we're pretty clear about, and the mechanistic evidence is in fact proving up, is that we're not all suffering cancer because we didn't get enough chemotherapy. Okay? People don't come down with cancer because there's a lack of chemotherapy in their life. They come down with cancer because their immune system shut off.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and that is also true of infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
If your immune system is shot, you are more susceptible to any type of disease, whether it be infectious or classified as something else. Mm-hmm. So, and this is why we added that. Now, in our survey, we're only asking about serious infectious diseases.
So you're calling it infectious because it's a term that they use. Is that right? Because otherwise, if you didn't call it, I mean, you could call it childhood diseases, common childhood diseases, but you're using that term, which some people are offended by because it's a fallacy we want to get rid of instead of childhood diseases.
Yeah, well, we'd also like to get rid of the fallacy that it's acceptable to sacrifice children for the good of all.
I understand, but that's part of the lie.
Slaughter children because it might protect someone else's kid. I don't agree with that either. But that's a losing battle to fight it from that angle going in.
I understand.
And everyone that's tried it from that angle has lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I don't believe that angle, as we need to be in this battle,
we need to be strategic in order to win it. Because the goal here is to win it, to stop this madness. That's what I'm into this for. I'm not into this to prove anything other than these vaccines pose a serious threat to our national security, because if this number of children are actually being injured by it, and our study shows that they are, then we are nearly a short distance away from complete economic collapse as a nation. This is a national security threat. It's a public health crisis, and here appears to be the cause. And we get a jury to ultimately make that determination. Mm-hmm. And it's not productive at this stage of the game when they're so close to finishing us off.
I understand. I just wanted to know if it was expedient. It was basically using their terminology just for expediency instead of calling it childhood diseases, right?
Yeah, well, we do cover all the diseases that children are getting, and we ask people to report them honestly. Mm-hmm. If your child has this or that diagnosis, please put it in here. Oh, by the way,
I'm just glad you didn't use vaccine preventable diseases. So infectious could be substituted by them for vaccine preventable, because that was the next step, and then we would say just common childhood diseases.
The entire concept of vaccine preventable is absurd given how much evidence there is.
Right.
I mean, I just watched a woman testify at the Senate committee hearing in Sacramento at the Capitol, who got a lovely young lady who got up there in tears saying, you know, the measles vaccine has turned me into Measles Mary because I've been spreading it to everyone that gets near me for 3 years ever since I got that damn shot. So it's the Typhoid Mary thing. They're creating all these Typhoid Marys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not in the interest of public health. But the closest we can get in this stage, in this particular survey, to create some documentation and some numbers that'll be accepted into evidence, is to simply ask the question, how many serious infectious diseases has your child recovered from since birth?
Right.
Because
when I did the survey, the survey was pretty clear. This had to be a serious, like you were checked into a hospital or diagnosed by a physician. And, you know, that would never happen. It was obvious she had chicken pox. It was obvious she had pertussis. And I'm an herbalist. And I had no problem dealing with it.
Why would we be concerned about a mild, common childhood infection that doesn't have any permanent or damaging results?
Mm-hmm.
Why would we term that to be serious?
Mm-hmm.
And why would we be concerned about infectious disease if it's not serious?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the jargon angle that we can come from at this and look perfectly reasonable, even according to Big Pharma's lingo.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sacrificing 43% of our children to horrific disabling lives and killing off a large number of them every year to prevent a bunch of mild infections.
Right.
What? I mean,
right.
That's not a good trade.
No, it isn't. Well, I am, you know, I'm thrilled that you, you know, took the bull by the horns, as they say, you know, and you're going at this with all your energy and passion, and I'm just so pleased to have been connected with you. I was, you know, I was, when I first got the email from you, I was like, wow, this is a woman after my own heart. You know, she is, you know, really figuring that this is the way to go. And I mean, I think a lot of people are like, well, why didn't we do this a long time ago? You know, but, and so it was important that we do a show. And yeah, it was important to do a show just to make sure that people understood that you are a real live woman here that has children, grandchildren, and that you are passionate about this and come from a staunchly unvaccinated family. And that you.
Nobody's paying me to do this.
I'm not
asking for money. I just dropped my entire life recently and made the absolute decision that I must do this and only this until this is resolved.
Right, and your family is 100% behind you. Your husband supporting you. Your children are supporting you, and that's wonderful. I mean, we're really pleased, and of course, you do accept donations. That always helps to offset printing costs and stuff. So, you know, I would like to know.
If somebody wants to do that, they're welcome to put it in the envelope because another 20 bucks.
I would like to encourage people. They can always put, you know, $10 or $20 in cash, even, you know, with their survey. It just, you know, there is an expense with all the printing, especially, you know, you file the paperwork in the court, you know, that all
the filing fees. We're going to have a lot of expenses, and I'm going on faith that as these additional expenses begin to appear. I'm building a really good team right now of some very genuine people. Some of them are fairly well off. And so when some of those expenses start to come, these people have already said they'll cover things like that. What I'm doing is just kind of going forward in faith. Like when I went to that rally, I knew there was going to be a lot of unvaccinated kids there with their parents. All the parents are bringing their kids. And so I went to the copy shop and printed off a bunch of surveys and went to the dollar store and bought 20 clipboards and a big stack of pens. I set up a booth.
Okay.
And
that's
so
wonderful. Wraps it up about this time.
Okay.
And so I just kind of, if you have one closing sentence, and then we're just going to have to.
Okay. This would be it. People need to understand that this is an existential threat to all of us, to this entire nation. And we are almost beyond the point of no return. There will be no future if we don't stop this. And I want everyone hearing my voice to go to thecontrolgroup.org. Even if your children are vaccinated, you can go there, learn about it, and urge other people who you know are not vaccinated to participate.
Okay, we're done. Thank you, Joy, so much. I know we're getting beeped in. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And
all right,
really appreciate
you.
Your work, honey.
Yeah, we'll do the closing now. You're listening to Vic Fellowship, and our shows can be accessed on the front page of our website on the belly of a little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Our contact number is 800-939-8227. If you have any questions about today's show, just call the voicemail line 862-800-6805. Leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our What in the Cell is Going On show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth, and y'all bless.